Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you are here and we are in your presence, Lord, even as you are in our presence. And we appreciate that, making it known absolutely that headship has come. The one who brought the word is here, the one who became incarnate according to that actual word itself, even as we saw it in print in the Bible, as it was said that the Bible is God in print. We know that that one is here by the very nature being demonstrated by what that one has always done and is doing and will do. We appreciate that. They were built upon the solid rock of revelation, absolutely vindicated. That we've come to that place, Lord, that we are supposed to come to, even as it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where you came back as the Holy Spirit and gave gifts of men, ministries to the church, to bring them right to the headship, where there would be complete love, no division, the very thing that Paul spoke of and prayed for. And they missed back there. It's got to come in this hour, Lord. Even as the prophet said, how can you not help but love each other, you that have this word? We realize, Lord, that this is the truth that he said. We looked at it, examined it, and brought forth in our own understanding from his principles, which are your principles, those very things. And we trust now, Lord, that according to this being the truth, the accuracy, the true mechanics, then the true dynamics will come upon it. We saw, Lord, that Cain couldn't get true mechanics, no way. We know that Abel did, and you took up the sacrifice, actually burning it according to what we know has been done in Scripture, the fire of God come down consuming the sacrifice, showing the acceptability, and yet it wasn't true of Cain. And he was rebellious, Lord, even as today we have the same rebellion, the two vines growing side by side. Help us, Lord, to be truly identified with your word and your word to identify us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were dealing with the what I consider to be a gross error that anybody should ever believe that the female part of the Holy Spirit, which I say there isn't any, came down on the day of Pentecost because that actual cloud was he himself at that time dividing himself. Because there's only one God, and he is Holy Spirit. See, that's the fallacy the Trinitarians have, and I fell for it being a Trinitarian years back, and I thought it was really great that when you're born again, you have the Spirit of Jesus, which is tremendous. But then when you get the Holy Ghost, now you got the Spirit of the Father. So conveniently, we had two spirits, which is very inconvenient. It's not Bible. But when you see what Brother Branham was teaching, the rebirth comes by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You see the truth of one God. And that same one in the pillar of fire came to Paul to bring the word. And Paul addressed him in the masculine gender. Now, I couldn't quote you last night because I didn't have it with me. I should have known where it was, but I didn't. But Brother Dave pulled it up through the little machine, which is very nice to him. And let me read you something here, which is certainly tremendous. It's in Marriage and Divorce. And Brother Branham says, Solomon could marry any woman that wasn't married. He could marry any woman he wanted to. A priest could marry only a woman that was a virgin. Solomon, like David, married, what was her name? Abigail, yeah. Which she was married to man. You know, Nabal is called fool. She married a fool, and then she married David. Abigail then was married to David. He was king, but he wasn't a priest, see? So he married, but a priest could not do that because he touched her God, a woman to be his wife that's already been some man's wife. Now, Brother Branham took that back to the ministry today. You go back to Moses, There was a time when they were allowed to marry the wives of deceased priests, but I think that was only because of emergencies. So that shows the virginity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Now, what's he talking about? The virginity of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got an echo here. Is that bad? Is it? Well, as long as you don't get it on tape. Now, it says here, now watch. The bride will have to be the unadulterated word. Not one word missing anywhere, certainly. Could you imagine a correct bride, one breast off and the other something or other wrong, you know? That's not going to be the bride of Christ. She's perfect. She's everything the Word. Now notice, she's everything the Word, not one word failing anywhere. In other words, she is the ultimate of God, who himself is the Word. In other words, there's nothing produced by letter. It's all by the Spirit-infused Word. And there's nothing any better. There's nobody more loved, and there's nothing reflects God more than this bride. Now that, of course, is something that is very moot to us in our present condition, but you see, we're not looking at the finished picture. And the finished picture is further sanctification in the millennium, further through the great white throne, and I even see something going on because the tree of life is there, the leaves for the healing of the nation, as I've said. If you got something that doesn't need healing, what are the leaves there for? That, to me, pictures what Brother Branham said, the sanctification goes on. So you see what we're looking at here. You don't look at this present time. You look now at what is going on because we're in the process of elimination and putting on and coming to the ultimate. Now notice, Brother Branham said, he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. Now, that's talking of Jesus in the church. He did it and proved it in the days when Luther, Wesley, and in Pentecost, when they refused to become the further part of him. Now, listen, by having spiritual, sexual affair to become pregnated with the further part of the word. I told you, I never knew of a woman who could ever pregnate a man or another woman. If you want this talk then, female part, this and that of the Holy Spirit, you are welcome to it. Just spare me any conversation concerning it, if you believe it, because my stomach is a bit touchy, and I wouldn't want upchuck. You hear what I read? You understand? She refused the Lutheran church. The Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Luther refused it. Let me say this, going to call me something anyhow. So it is today with every one of them. They failed to take that word. They refused Christ. And any woman that refuses a man his child has no right to be his wife. Amen. I know how Brother Branham could bring that out. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther because the queen refused? He just got him another one. What happened when she refused to come out with the king and obey him? The same thing it is with a woman that refuses to be wife with her husband. He's talking about the church, and the whole thing is explicitly related to sexual intercourse. That's what marriage is about. Let's face it, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be married. Now, you may have lots of little thoughts in your mind, how sweet you are, and how you just hold her hand and look into her eyes. What do you bother looking for? Just put it on the platter. You do it out in the streets. It's their only righteous act when it's within the confines of one man, one woman, properly married. And so it is with the church that refuses to become pregnant in the age that we now live in to bring forth children of this age. We're not Lutherans, we're not Western, neither are we Pentecostals. We've got to be the children of this age through the pregnancy of the impregnating word of God to bring forth a child of this age, the seed child. Without this message, there's no way we could meet Christ in the air. No way you could get him off the Father's throne. Which he said, now listen, that same spirit that was in him down here now says, look, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man open the door, having heard my voice, I'll come in and sup with him, he with me. I'm telling you now, he said, I'll grant for you to sit with me in my throne as I've overcome the sat down in my Father's throne. Ultimate. Ultimate, see? Seed child, amen. I hope you understand. Couldn't be pregnant now. What'd you do? Put her away in divorce. That's right. But she dares put him away. She did it. Said, get out of here. I don't want you. Remember the songs of Solomon? She heard the beloved knocking at the door. And man, she just oozed out there like water trickling on the floor. That's a real woman. That was her love for Christ. Yeah. They finally got together after a long time of persecution, but she wasn't too great to look at by the time the briars bit on her clothes, the dogs chased her, people maligned her, grasped at her. And he said, you are so beautiful. See, she filled up the sufferings he'd left behind. There's a lot of questions that are asked. Everybody's got them. That's part of the suffering. That's part of the patience that God wants to put in you. Wait for him to give you the answers. How many people tried to beat the Elijah ministry to the punch? Oh, so many. But there was one vindicated, thus saith the Lord. And here's what he said about those people that talk about the Holy Spirit coming down at the end time or the first time or any time I know of. Being a woman. Well, so much for that. Rhema and Logos. That question came up, although I've dealt with it. Let's go over it this morning and see what we come out at. I'm going to read mostly because I like to read, and then I remember better. You know, I can sort of coordinate my thoughts ahead of time. At least I hope I do. Now, there are those who try to separate Rhema and Logos, or Rhema from Logos, keep them separate, to the point where they are not interchangeable, so that each carries a separate and distinct meaning that can be utterly dependent on to give the exact sense and appropriate meaning when used. In other words, they believe that these words can run like two parallel lines, which never come together. And conveniently, you have no problem, therefore, because you keep them so distinct. Now, this to begin with cannot hold the test of scriptural revelation, because just about every single word because of every single doctrine must be revealed properly because the words make up the doctrine. In other words, they bring it into a position whereby you are able to see that which is to be seen, but not necessarily comprehended. Now, that's the way it was at the burning bush. Moses saw the fire and the bush wasn't consumed, and he said, hey, what's that all about? And he could have stood there until now. Yeah. If the voice hadn't said, Moses, take your shoes off to approach any further, you're on holy ground. I'm the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, there you are. Understanding is always after the fact. Because we're not creators. We hope we're processors and procurers of that which is there, but we'll be tied if we take that attitude and walk on without God. Right? So, all right, there's no such thing as two parallel lines so that you've got everything figured out, because all Scripture has compound meanings. Oh, my. And if you go to the Greek and Hebrew, whoo-wee, there's some that got 32 different things looking at you. So, all right, rhema comes from the root word reho. Rhema, that's the root word reho. Here is the idea of pouring forth, utter, speaking, saying, commanding. So, all right, you're looking at this word, and whether it's written or just spoken, it's a word, and rhema itself, now it comes from that background, rhema itself means an utterance. And by implication, matter or topic, well, certainly, because if you're going into what we're going into, a single word does not suffice any more than a single manifestation will suffice. You've got to go beyond that. And let's just look at Matthew 13 and 35. Hope I got this. Yeah, this is Jesus speaking from the Old Testament, and he's using parables. Verse 30, for all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable he didn't speak unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now here's a man, he's uttering parables. And everything is beautiful. He says it perfectly. You see, that's an example there of you can call rhema. It is. But within them is even mystery, because they're uttered by the mysterious one. Now, let's look at logos. It has an entirely different root word. This root is lego. To lay forth. Relate in words. To set a discourse. In other words, where rhema can be the basic for a discourse, a topic, or matter. This now is that which has that foundation and comes into the discursive, which would be interpretive, illustrative, educational, revealing, and so on. Now, by reading the definition of the two root words, which we did, we can see that they are both quite alike. They have an actual relationship. It is lego, for, of course, for logos, and that has a far deeper connotation than does the rhema. All right, logos, then, is something said including the thought. In other words, you just can't throw a bunch of words in there and be hopeful they're going to come out right. You're looking at this which helps you to get to what is actually there. You know it's there. See? Now, as we look at this understanding, is something said, including the thought. We are looking at actually What Brother Branham taught is based upon Paul, as I see this, that the Word, which is the Word of God, contains God, for the Word is the conduit. Like, this is God in print. That is very fine, and you can read it, and you can miss reality a billion miles. And you can say, well, like the fellow told Brother Branham, now I know who the fellow is by who his brother is. I never met this one guy. But he said, Brother Branham, when we finally get the Greek right down to where we know every single word, then we'll know the real truth. Now, Brother Branham wasn't any dummy. He said, look, I've only been through the seventh grade. You better believe I know it's in them books. He should have said those books or these books. But them books was all right by me, because they were them books in my books. I knew what he meant. Don't kid with me, boy. He said, listen, in the first century they argued over a diphthong, which is two vowels coming together. It set the whole church on fire where they could have gone plumb into air. Now he said, you know better than that. He said, the word must be revealed. You know, these guys tried to sell Brother Branham short like a little Kentucky hillbilly. I want to tell you, the hills in Kentucky is mighty big. So if he's a hillbilly, he's way on the top of Mount Everest. Yeah, Everest just moved into Kentucky. So much for you Hindus, see? So, we see why people say that Logos is the expression of the thought, or love expressed, God expressed. Or some might say Logos is the true meaning expressed. Expressing the reality of Rhema. In other words, we might say that Rhema is the Word of God without revelation. But you've got to have it. It is absolutely there. But because of the relationship, one with the other, God having known it, set it down, and God in fulfilling it, you just can't put them in parallel lines, see? And just keep with me, and we'll see more as we go on here. Now, John uses Logos as the expression of God, or, and the expression being God. We'll see that. The potential expressed, or you might say the potential expressor. See, because if you got a potential expressor, it simply means that he will be expressed. And if you've got a word which no word lacks power, either as dunamis or authority, and the words are spirit and life, going to get expressed. Huh? Now, you follow me? Okay. Remember what Brother Branham said in John 1 and 1. We go back here and look at it. The beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Brother Branham said, if you make the word Jesus, you have three gods. So Brother Branham is 100% with this scripture that the Trinitarians bungle and bumble over. Because it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. If A equals B and B equals C, A, B, and C are equal. But not three people. Three thoughts of one. Like you got a house. Four sides. Now, if I stand on that side and describe the house, and you stand over there and describe that house, four people describing it, looks like they're not describing the same house. See, you've got to have the point of view. Now, if I'm describing the whole house, and I'm on the north side, and I move to the south side without telling you, you've got problems. And I'm the cause of it. Then you mean to tell me God's not going to reveal His Word right to you? God's going to cause you to boo-boo? You fall, I keep listening. Because we're on target. Now, let me read. I'm not a Philadelphia lawyer here, but you're going to hear some things that's on tape, and I'm going to read them. Now, listen. In the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, or this is the starting place, or seed, or author, or creator, beginner, source of it all, or it all started then and there, conceptualization prior to materialization, spiritual, essential, invisible, omniscient, omnipotence, desiring to become defined. It was all there and yet unplaced because there was yet no place, not even an atom. Did I lose you? Shouldn't have. In the beginning was the Word. Materialization of conceptualization. We're talking about it. Dwelling in darkness, meaning unmanifested. Why? Because light manifests, and there was nothing manifested, so there wasn't any light. And the light began to form. There wasn't an atom or anything else. Dwelling in darkness, meaning unmanifested, waiting for the light or manifestation, the infinite abilities for infinite expression was there, and whatever was there would be the resultant expression and maintenance of the infinite expression of the infinite expressor. I lost you, did I? How could I lose you? Can't you understand from the Garden of Eden to New Jerusalem? Don't you understand Alpha and Omega? I'm kind of rubbing it in. I'm not sarcastic and mean. I feel very relaxed and very sweet. Ha ha. But did you catch what I'm saying? Listen again. Okay, in the beginning, the starting place, the seed, author, creator, beginner, source of it all, or it all started then and there with whatever was there, if there was anything there. There was merely conceptualization in the sense of the concept prior to the materialization of a spiritual, essential, invisible, omniscient, omnipotence, desiring to become defined. Yeah. God has limits. Oh, God's everywhere. Hogwash. Now, breathe him in. Breathe him. Now, breathe him out. I better breathe faster and hold some of it. Come on. See where stuff gets you if you... Oh, come on. Dwelling in darkness, meaning unmanifested, waiting for light or manifestation, the infinite abilities for infinite expression was there. And whatever was there would be the resultant expression and maintenance of the infinite expressor. That reality was the starting point of it all. And that starter was spirit. And that spirit wanted to be God, the object of worship. That is why it says, in the beginning was the unmanifested reality. And all that reality was with or within God as we now know Him as God, even Lord God in worship. And that reality was God. Because with God there is everything, and without Him there is nothing. You see? In the beginning there was everything to set up a kingdom with the Spirit as king, because the Spirit could do it. The result was God. From the Spirit to God. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst right now. And there stood He who said, when you see me, you see the Father. And I can prove it, because you're seeing the man whose words are doing a manifested work.
that only God can do. I'm telling you, His word I am speaking, His acts I am doing, because He is speaking through me and He is acting through me. See, we're talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The total expression. We're looking at it. So, we read back here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, the starting point is this. Everything points to Him to be God. Everything. That was the start within Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, not God. Brother Branham, as a vindicated prophet, cleared that. And he went so far as to say, you can make a piano your God. You can make your TV your God. You can make your belly your God. That's what Paul had to contend with, a bunch of guzzlers.
Gormandizers. Whatever.
Said, your God is your belly. Even your philosophers say it. Your glory is your shame. It's the same thing today. Yeah. Well, come on. What's the major topic in the world today? Food and women. You don't think so? What does the Pope want? Food for everybody. What do the men want? Women. What do women want? Men. God is your belly, glory is your shame. Well spoken, Brother Bale. Always quote the prophet. To start, everything to be God. What's the result? God. He can be worshipped. There you are. Now you go over this, it's on tape. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. In other words, a redefining of verse number 1, telling you where it started. And this predates, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Scholars will admit that John 1 and 1 predates Genesis chapter 1. All right, we go a little further. Now watch, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. See? That's the reason He is God. You see, is that the reason He's God? Yes, because without it, there wouldn't be worship, because even the trees clap their hands, and the angels sing, and the cherubim shout. All nature is praising God. The Bible tells you so. Man is the only laggard. He's the one that's dragging his feet, because Satan came trickling down and showed him a better way. The only better way the devil's got is a better way to get you away from God and destroy you. And let me tell you something, since hell was created for the devil and his angels and not for a human being, you can tell what spirit receives the serpent seed as it comes down the line. There's one of those fallen angels standing right there to receive him. Right? Takes care of your mystery, doesn't it? I shot from the hip on that one. Did you get it? Brother Branham's quote. There's a spirit there allowed of God, but not of God. And he's there, and he puts an oblique shot in their way back that a third of those angels fell. Now, if that serpent seed is going to go to hell, there's a hookup between the angels of the devil that are going to go to hell. Right? Touche. Okay, in verse 3. For in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The living God, there's a life in Him. What did He breathed into Adam's nostril the breath of life. It was the Holy Spirit bringing God's life down to mankind that sets man apart. Now, there's an argument about whether the serpent had a soul or not. Brother Branham said he didn't have one. theologians say animals don't have souls. You can go to the Hebrew, you'll find it says soul, but Brother Branham clarified it, and he said inner soul. So I don't care how much of a soul or not a soul the beast has got, he ain't got the inner soul. No serpent seed has got that inner soul, that gene that came from God. And it wasn't floating out there to come in. It came down through the lines that God said, be fruitful and multiply. You are my son. You bring my children to birth. And they had the choice of going by the Spirit like God did, and they went to the flesh. Well, they had to. Brother Branham himself said they would have come to it. Sure. But think how marvelous life would have been had they come to it with God directing it. You didn't have to worry about abortions today because you're out there flusing around. You wouldn't be flusing around. Every child born of God in the due season, the due manner, all those things of God. In him was life. Yeah, now he's talking about the living God breathing into Adam the breath of life, and we see the propagation here. Now, notice. Over here, where am I going? 18th verse. No, 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now do you see what real glory is? What is real glory? Hey, we got a lot of ways to go when I talk on subjects like this, but you don't mind. You don't mind because I told you didn't. Let me read it yet. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Only to the elect. Now watch. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, shall see him, there is no beauty, we should desire him. This is God's analysis. This is his description. This is what he calls glory. In other words, you see God manifested according to God's own purpose and plan. Absolutely. And they say, well, I don't want that. Boy, that's not glorious in my books. Just what Brother Branham said when Jesus came down. Why, Caiaphas and that bunch of hoodlums, they said, now, just a minute, if he'd have been the Messiah, there'd have been a red carpet come down from heaven, and he'd have come to us. Hey! Their understanding of glory was what pertaineth to me and maketh me look as good as. Yeah. So glory is then is a true and proper assessment. He came and was servant to all. Bible said if you want to be great, be servant to all. That's why your CEOs and the government today has gone to pot and they're going plumb to hell and there's no return back. Because as soon as they get any authority, they become the masters and everybody becomes a servant and they withhold the wages of the hired men. God said, it's over. That's Reaganomics. Don't blame Reagan. Don't blame Reagan. It's the spirit. Nothing to do with the men in that particular sense. The Word was made flesh. In other words, God's complete plan was to come in absolutely into flesh. And when it was, you beheld God's own assessment, what lay within God, and what he wanted within his own omniscient, infinite, omnipotent perfections. Yeah. Okay, Brother Branham also mentioned that's one place that Jesus was the Logos. Even though he said in this particular point, that was not Jesus you're looking at. You're looking at God himself before he came in flesh, because that's what John was looking at, because he says in verse 14, 13 more verses down, that same one became flesh. And he took a process that people don't like to talk about, and it's very confusing. No doubt about it. It's confusing, but I believe it. That's all. Brother Branham said it on top of that, but vindication. Now, Paul also said the same thing that Brother Branham said in Hebrews, the first chapter. And it says here, God at sundry times, divers manners, that's in many parts and many ways, spoke unto the fathers in the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. Now notice, God speaking in Son absolutely shows that the Son is not doing the speaking. No. It's God speaking. Tells you right there. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, the ages, and so on. Who being the brightness of his glory. That's God's infinite ability and magnitude to bring forth what is utterly incomparable and the express image. That's the expression of his substance. Upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. You can see right here that you've got a Logos. Now, where did it come from? Isaiah 53 in the entire Bible, right back from Genesis. The seed of the woman. Now, remember that Jesus did not overcome Satan. God overcame him. The only thing that Jesus did was repeat the word. And God was in that word for the defeat of the enemy. Thus it seems that we can see, say, from Brother Branham's two statements concerning the Logos, that both the Father, that's, he talks about God being the Word, the Logos and Jesus, that the Logos, thus it seems we can say from Brother Branham's two statements concerning the Logos, that both Father Elohim, or Father Jehovah, and his Christ were Logos, in that both expressed the essentiality and presence of God according to God's purpose and the time of that purpose. Jesus could say, he that sees me has seen the Father. And he could positively say, he said, no man can come except the Father draw him, and turn right around and say, the sheep hear my voice and follow me. See, you've got to understand there the terminology here, the words, according to the old rabbis, the old teachers, they used them interchangeably just the same as the prophet did. The manifestation or expression of whatever or whoever is to be manifested or expressed can never, ever be apart from or alienated in any way from the expressor or manifester. That's simple. Unless the expressor or manifester is not sovereign. In other words, he can't bring it to pass. But is in some way at variance within himself, because the very manifestation or expression contains the manifester or expressor. Now, that's not double talk. That's just the very fact there that God cannot change his mind, God cannot change his word, God cannot change God. He is utterly limited to infallibility. As Brother Branham said, he cannot think a better thought. He cannot think another thought. So, whew! Yes, whew! That's because it's your mind's. My mind. Forget it. Accept it. That's all. I want to read it again, maybe. The manifestation or expression of whatever or whoever is to be manifested or expressed can never be apart from or alienated in any way from the expressor. In other words, exactly what the expressor is, you will get that expression. Brother Bannon said, hey, let me hold my hand up to the light. Now he said, look at the shadow. Now he said, that does not change. As I get more and more to the light, the hand fits more and more. He said, what if you saw the shadow of an elephant? And he said, oh, look at that great big old pachyderm coming in. And he said, a little spindly man shows up. Why, he said, no way. How can you get the expression different from the expressor? That's where, look out in nature, and you can see the intrinsicality and the marvel of Almighty God, where they can take a butterfly wing and examine it for years and write books on it. Oh, my. Take a kaleidoscope and put it up your eye and just wiggle back and forth and see those thousands of patterns in there. How many songs have been written with eight notes to the bar? infinite. I don't know music, but Joel Jallion, his brother, can take, what is it, Joel, 25 men and make 100 singers. Is that what it is? By the time you finish? Whoo! My Lord, if I could just carry a tune in the bucket, there'd be a hole in it. I always end up that way. God is not of two minds. The Creator is the caretaker. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build. Except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watches, but in vain. The old psalmist said, He gives His beloved sleep. I'll just lie down while, and snore and sleep while God keeps the house. Now, he wasn't some lazy bum. He knew it was God in you, willing and doing. If His good pleasure, it sure would get done. Now, listen. Brother Branham, and who is this Melchizedek, laid out God's purpose and plan as pertaining to His great Father attributes, wherein God knew He would bring His many sons into glory after the image and order of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And then consequently, in His own image and order. God expressing Himself through His children. As Brother Branham said, you're in your Father. He wanted fellowship with you, communion. And by the bonds of holy matrimony and the sacred bedding grounds of mother brought you forth, and now He has communion. And what is Papa going to do? He's going to share His thoughts, and you're going to share the thoughts back and forth with Him. That's why at the end time in Malachi, it says there's a group of people who come together, and they talk, and they talk, and God... Yeah, listen to what they're talking. They're not praying now. That's exactly why poor old Brother Moore out there, the herald of hope, he'd say, oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. So God sends the prophet. William Branham comes right into his house. William Branham leaves the house. Oh, God, send the prophet. Oh, God, send the prophet. Shaq! You're praying stupid. Haven't I asked God for this piece of paper? I got it. The great tragedy is not to understand and know the presence of God. God is not in the church. He's in the Word. The bride has the word, she's got God. It certainly appears that this ultimate plan for His sons also includes God's ultimate plan of self-expression as to His redemptive attributes as found in all eight compound titles or the Jehovah complex. Now, as Brother Branham biblically traced the only begotten Son, He also showed our path from the thoughts in the mind of God when we were nothing. Now, right there, you're going to say, well, Brother Branham said we were nothing. And so that means we were nothing, nothing, nothing until. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Didn't he tell you and plainly intimate? And his intimations many times are just direct words of God telling you flat. Where were you, said Job? But they said to Job, when all the sons of God came together, the morning stars, they all sang, clapped their hands. Well, he said, you bypassed that part. Of the theophany. But who says you bypassed the part when they came together and sang? Oh, there's mysteries all over the book. But the big thing is to accept it. Because when you leave here, you go to that which you bypassed. Then you come back and pick up your body. You say, well, I don't know why. Because God said so. How many of you parents have said to your kids, do so and such? Kids, why? Because I said do it. Why? If you go home after this morning sermon and bellyache, say, why? You're not very nice kids. I won't take back my love for you, but I just say, hey, kids, you're getting in hot water there with yourself. Not with God and with me. Hey, you're getting yourself in hot water. Say, why? Because I just told you. And remember, God's glory is not what man thinks. And it's not what man wants. No, no. Except under his own terms, and he can't have it that way. See? Now, Brother Branham biblically traced the only begotten Son. He also showed our path from thoughts in the mind of God when we're just way back there with that nothingness, but just there in thoughts. See, there's nothing to be manifest yet, just laying there, to our ultimate and the New Jerusalem. Even telling us we came like Jesus to our destination, except that we bypassed our word body, he called it that, also spirit body, also theophany, and became flesh in order to be tested and tempted, and therefore we have no memory of the past like Jesus, who did not bypass his theophonic form or word body. Now, you know something, I really believe if he'd have bypassed it, he would have been in trouble. Remember Brother Branham coming back from beyond the curtain of time? He said, I'll never be the same again, and he wasn't, because he saw some. You know, he heard from his theophany. I think so. He was up there in that dimension. Rebirth proof said you and I hear from ours too. On what grounds? We are one with that word that's going to take us right to it. Sure, materialization, which we bypass, but we're going to get. You see, why? Don't ever wait, because God wants it. It's best for us. He's the Lord of glory, the true assessments. Now, in the process of his explanation, it is my understanding, Brother Branham said that all those thoughts of God, which became names, were placed or written in a book, and once written were to be spoken, and once spoken could not help but be expressed. Now, like he said, let there be light, could have been 1,000 years, could have been a million years, who knows. This would appear to set an undeniable pattern to all that was to be expressed, even in nature, because that would be the same. But actually, Brother Branham was speaking of seed, or life force, to bring into being the personalities that lay therein. Now, what's the life force of the man? To bring forth children. Can't take that from God. The life force is to bring forth sons unto him. So I cannot agree that at this time we have found a way to separate Rhema and Logos in a nice, tidy arrangement, so that Rhema is what is written in the book and Logos comes after the speaking. For when we deal with sons that are seed, we are referring to the last book of life and also to the book of life, because that's where they're written. See, the names are there. And those names were put there before the foundation of the world. Christ crucified from the foundation. Couldn't be before because there's nothing there. See, they went into sin and error. All those things. So now we're looking at the fact those names must be expressed, and they will be. And you can say, well, those names at that time were Arema. Well, very fine and dandy. What's a name? Names of stars, puts them back and forth. It shows you there's a predestination that's entailed in the foreknowledge, God bringing it to pass, showing that absolutely there would not be a Logos without a Rhema. And a Rhema without a Logos is simply emptiness. And if you don't understand the sovereign doctrines of Almighty God, you'll end up as Cain with your unrighteous works, though they may appear to you and believed by you and many others, that they are truly righteous, such as it says in the end time when they stand before God at the white throne, and they say, all these works I've done, I've cast out devils in your name, you said to do it. I've spoken in tongues, you said to do it, we would do it. He said, I prophesied, you said to do it, we've done it. He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. What was their iniquity? They knew better, but they wouldn't do it. And on the other hand, they knew better than to do it, and they did it. Always two sides to the coin. So on the grounds of what I believe Brother Branham taught, I see him unable to separate Rhema and Logos, or separate Rhema from Logos, but to use them interchangeably, for both are of the same source and have one purpose and use and destination or culmination. One source, God. How are you going to separate them? Can you separate those flowers from God? Say, well, Brother Vail, I can, you see, really, truly, I can, because that daisy is not an original. I got news for you. God himself said to Adam and to Eve, he said, you have dominion over all the earth. That means they can take those daisies, which were little original seeds, and they can work on them because God said they could do it and bring them forth into different daisies as long as they stay within the species. Now man has come to the place where he's going to take a part of a cell of a human being and a flower or something, put them together, and going to make monsters. And Brother Branham said, when you see coming to the secret of life and them doing those things, he said, it's all over. Now it's all over. Why? Because Israel's in the homeland. They're doing this thing with life. And now the Pope in Rome declares, he is here. And he said, when you see the world organized churches, take this message. And the message is, my ministries declare that he is here. He said, it's over. And the Pope and his cohort say, we know he's here. We can tell it by the miracles and the works that are being done. And what it is, it's the Son listening to Mary. Hallelujah. Now you got Gnosticism. Female God. Branhamites have gone completely Roman Catholic. Don't even know it. Now that's my assessment. It's on tape. Don't erase it. If I'm wrong, come back and tell you. How much time we got? Okay, we're going to just take a few scripture here. Let's go to Rema. It's used 70 times in the Bible. Starting with Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew 4 and 4. And it says, but he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now you notice he was quoting the Old Testament. Quoting the truth that was written already by prophets, which was the word of Almighty God. Okay, let's just jump around for a minute here. Let's take one in Luke 24. I'm just going to take a few because we're just going to call it a day. I can't get to the other questions that came to me over the phone or anything else. That's the way it is. Okay, Luke 24, verse 8. Then they remembered his words. Now, that tells you there that those words came to them and it meant nothing except they were just words. Now something happens and they got a new slant on it. And returned from the sepulchre and told all those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Before it was simply like a rhema, but without a rhema there was no logos. The same spirit that penned it brought it to pass. You can't separate the chicken and the egg. That's why you're trying to do it. The main proponent of this hogwash, because it's hogwash to me, I might have to apologize before the Lord. And I'm able to apologize. But to me it's hogwash. I know quite a bit about that situation. They just let it lie right there. And I've got witnesses too. It's not what some man would tell you, what I know, but I've got witnesses. 47:48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. Now he's just talking about Rhema right there. Okay. Let's go to John 14 and 10. John 14, 10. Believest thou not that I am the Father and Father in me? The words that I speak, and I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. That's Rhema. Let's go John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Hey, that's logos. Tell me that you could tell the difference. Why are they? They're interchangeable. But what, this is a little deeper. Because it says here, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, but the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. That's the 24th verse explains the 23rd. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And that's got to be revealed word. Because how are you going to keep a word that's not revealed? Remember, he said to Cain, thou hast offered well. But if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? And the Septuagint absolutely bears that to the perfection. Even Paul says, rightly dividing the word of truth. No revelation. Brother Branham said it. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 13, 20, 23. That's in the parables, right? 20:23. All right. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by him he is offended. He also received seed amongst the thorns, as he that heareth the word and the cares of the world, deceiveth the riches, choked the word, and became unfruitful. Now that's Logos. But if you weren't aware of Rhema and Logos, the interchangeability of what one means to the other, you couldn't possibly guess it. Somebody going to come along and tell you, I'm going to show you what's Rhema, I'm going to show you Logos. If that guy doesn't know the Greek or Aramaic perfectly, he's just a stone-headed liar. Because you can't tell just by reading it. Now, with our understanding that we really know the Word of God, let me tell you something. I would never have guessed that this is Logos. But knowing now that it is Logos, I can explain why it is Logos. Because to hear the Word is to understand. Now, do you get persecuted because you understand the Word of God the same as that bunch out there understand? No, you understand it different, so they hate your guts. That's why it's Logos. But I could actually put Rhema in there because it's the identical Word. It's the identical Bible. It's the identical thing. But they do not understand. No, I'm not going to read anymore. Just let you know, Brother Branham categorically changed them, interchanged them. And he's right in line with the Holy Spirit, as all others would do the very same thing. John 6. And I got a bunch here I'm not going to worry about. If you need to know more, you can just get your own concordance, look them up, and you'll find what I found out. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickens the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Now you'd say right away, that's got to be Logos. No, it is Rhema. The same Holy Spirit that brings them to life, it's the same Holy Spirit that wrote what's going to be brought to life. The same unidentified, mysterious God, invisible, that dwelleth in darkness, means there's nobody can show a light on him. He only shows himself to whom he wants to show. He does what he wants to do. Let him stand for Rhema. Let it stand for manifestation as the Logos. Go back to the beginning, before he was God, just Spirit. Brother Branham told you to do it. It's on tape. Said it wasn't even God. Not an Adam. In him was all this. Now, you could be Rhema on a book. But I'm going to tell you something. God himself said that Rhema that's on a book that's not yet spoken, you will be spoken forth in your due time and come forth in the manifestation, and you are my child. And you know what you are, even though that body of yours will corrupt? You are a Logos. You are a theophonic form, but not commensurate to the absolutely definitive reality of God. See? Because you were born to be tested and tried. You cannot tempt God, my brother, my sister. That's why you and I were put in flesh. Because that which is born of God cannot sin, cannot be tempted, cannot be tried. Even Jesus had to come down, be tempted and tried, and take a part of us onto him. And let me tell you, he knew what was in the glory, and he said, I want to get back. That's what you promised me. I'm going to have it back. And God, his Father, said, absolutely, you're going to have it back. I've guaranteed it to you. So he didn't fall. He saw greater glory. Do you think, what would happen to you today, that you that really believe the Lord, you'd want to love him with all your heart, you want to be what we know this message brings, if you suddenly really saw that pillar of fire, if you really could look upon it without being consumed, you could look upon an adoration of, don't you think your life would be changed? You'd walk so softly you could walk on eggshells. A gossamer spider web would hold you up. See, look, but we're coming to it. Just don't get previous. See? Don't get your thoughts out of order. We're coming to it. This message is sanctifying you. It separated you. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. I don't know if that's Rhema or Logos. I could look it up. Let me see. I haven't got that one down here. Doesn't matter. Just this won't do it. Oh, but it will. When the life flows through it. So what are we looking at? It is that there is no doubt that God has a perfect plan of creating and governing and regulating His entire creation and doing with it exactly according to the plan that lay within Him, so that He knew and purposed, as Brother Branham said, how many times the flea would bat its eyeballs and how many would take to make a pound of tail. You say, well, Brother Dale, isn't that kind of picayune sort of way of putting it? No, not for our stupid minds. He had to catch us with that one. We are not and we need not be privy to it all. It is enough to know we're heir to it. It's enough to know what Brother Branham taught us, as in who is this Melchizedek, and leave the rest to God, especially in the intricate matter, that's the matters that are hard to see clearly. God is having His way, and all His ways are truth, no error. By Him we have and will overcome. So in leaving the matter, let us just rest in the truth that God and His Word are one. For He is the Word and all of it as to its origin, writing, speaking, manifesting, all of God, and the consequences are programmed in Him, the Alpha and Omega, the Rhema and the Logos, all one. And I believe, according to Brother Branham, based on the Word of God and Him being vindicated to say it, this is the hour where once more, He said, then that day will know I am in the Father, and you and me, and I in you. And of the white throne, we're going to know it again, and believe me, it's going to be so good to know it again. That'll be the third and last time. So I trust you understand we are not trying to take Rhema and Logos and make some kind of a little division amongst the people, some petty foolish thing that'll make me look good and you look good because you've got something, oh, nice, you know how it is, a little female spirit here, a little thing there. Come on, get with the Word of God as the prophet said it. Come on. That's the secret. The secret, brother, sister, is knowing that we do not have the pride within us that comes against what that man said. Neither do we need to be afraid of it. When Paul wrote his tremendous epistles, he said, listen, for God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of courage of a sound mind. We're the only people with a sound mind. You know why? Because we've got the sound of God's Word in our minds. For John, when he heard the trumpet, turned to see the voice. It was a scriptural voice. We too have recognized a scriptural voice. And as Brother Branham said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. I am constantly marveling at how He shows us what's in the Word as the prophet taught. Wonderful. God Himself came down as a witness. And it all goes back here. And it's nice to know that we have the God of this Bible. Rest assured, brother, sister, the God that spoke back, the voice that spoke back, is the voice that spoke out of this Bible. Never spoke out of the Quran. Never spoke out of this ism and that ism. Never went to the Mormons. It's a lot of hogwash. All these things are cults. They call us cults. Well, I want to tell you something. The word cult's not a bad word. People just make it a bad word. You know, the oysters are all polluted, aren't they? Not everyone's. So if I find a good oyster, slurping down. The world makes everything shoddy and dirty and foolish. Hey, we've got the truth vindicated. Stand up for Jesus. Show you're not ashamed of Him. If you're ashamed of Him, you're ashamed of this word. So, well, I'm a little ashamed of Jesus. You're not ashamed of Jesus. You're ashamed of yourself. because you don't reflect His image enough, and you get scared, and you get booed away, and say, well, oh, my, forget your my. God gave Himself a surety. Took on, I showed you last Easter, He took on Himself the full responsibility for every son. He said, you're mine. Jesus, I'll stand with you because I'm your brother. Oh, my, what do people want? I just want this right in business. We'll get some more questions later, maybe whenever. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank You for Your wonderful love and mercy to us, Lord, that what the prophet said and did is so fabulous. It just all comes out if we dare to believe and go right to the Word and just stand there where Brother Branham himself stood there and said, He is the Word. Judge the world by one Christ Jesus. Who is He? He is the Word. Knowing there is absolutely no way that anybody could judge the world by Jesus Christ simply as a person. There'd have to be something behind it. We find that He fulfilled every single law. And in fulfilling the law, it was not, as many people think, it was dying. Because the law brought death, and He stood right there and died and rose again, shed His life back upon us. Lord, if people cannot understand, Rhema and Logos, all of You, not trying to systematically do this and do that, but simply rejoice in the revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whom we shall shortly crown. We believe that. Year 2000 is upon us. My, what can be left? Can't be much left. But if we go before that time, no difference at all. We just rise out of the ground. Then come meet Him in the air with the others who are ordained to stay here. Lord, we realize today we have a message not only of hope, of earnest expectation based upon faith in God, which has come to pass, but it's beyond that. It's to knowledge. Brother Branham said, scientifically proven. Once it's proven, we know it. There's nothing more to do than simply apply it. Just as John said, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, talking that word like it says in Malachi. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. Scattering sin till there be no evidence or trace. The virgin, virtuous bride of Christ who didn't even do it according to the word that God vindicated. Tricked into it. All falling back on Satan. Father, we thank You for this. These are the things we ought to remember. These are the things that have really become logos in this hour. Not simply uttering a word and thinking we're fantastic because we can joggle this and jiggle that. But to stand here and see the reality from way back before there was a speck of stardust, unknown from before the foundations, but known way back before there was even any light. And seeing it come right to pass in our generation, in our day, coming to pass in us who believe. No wonder the prophet's so full of the Spirit of God, the revelation, and those things which are so vital. Continue to sing, only believe. Only believe. Yes, little pilgrim, only believe. All things are possible to you. Only believe. Believe the message of the declaration of His presence, who is here to do and continue to do until the culmination. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. All hail His marvelous, wonderful name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.